Hey everyone, welcome to the Matt Report. I'm your host, Matt, and I interview folks who make a living using WordPress. Today, I am joined by a good friend of mine, Brian Castle. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Good to see you. So this is episode 3, and I'm very delighted to have you as my third guest. And we were kind of just talking before the show on different tips on how you actually record your own podcast, Freelance Jam. So why don't you just jump in and give folks a little bit of background about yourself and what you're up to?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a web designer. Been running my freelance web design business for about 5 years now. And right now, for the past year or so, my main project or business has been RestaurantEngine.com. Which is a web design, it's a niche web design service for restaurants, all built on WordPress. For the most part, it's automated, but there is a, you know, quite a bit of service that's involved. But that's basically it. Other than that, I do some client work, which is kind of scaling down at this point. I'm really focusing most of my time on Restaurant Engine. And as you said, I do run, I co-host a podcast for freelance web designers. We talk WordPress, we talk other non-WordPress related things and freelancing. That's with Dave Yankoviak.
Awesome.
So, we do that every couple of weeks whenever we have time.
Awesome. So do you find yourself not taking on any of the freelance work anymore, or are you still dabbling in maybe some contracts you might still have left over from old clients?
Yeah, I mean, I am actually still taking new client work, a lot less than I used to. I used to maybe average 4 to 5 or 6 projects at any given time. Now I'm really kind of limiting that to like one client project at a time.
Nice. You know, for the folks who love the history of starting their own freelance company or WordPress shop, you know, do you remember your first WordPress project and how that went for you?
Wow, that's a good question. I guess it was back. I think I've been using WordPress for about 4 years or so. It was early on after I went freelance. I know that it was after I went out on my own. I used to work at a web design agency for a few years. That was when, I mean, WordPress was really in its infancy. But then when I went out on my own, that's when I started blogging. I started my personal blog, which was kind of attached to my portfolio website. And I think that's when I started dabbling into WordPress for the first time. And soon after that, I started to dig into it a little bit deeper. Maybe a year or two into it, I actually started using it for clients, using it as a CMS. And then I actually went into creating themes and selling themes, which I still do today through Theme Jam and WP Bids.
Nice. Was that when you know, what got you into the WordPress, into using WordPress? Was it the whole I need to blog and start marketing myself? Did you find it out at the, did you find it from the other company you work for?
No, I actually remember the other company that I worked for, I was using Blogger. I remember setting up some Blogger blogs for a few clients over there. And at the time that was kind of like the premier blogging platform and WordPress was the up and coming thing. And I don't think I even heard about WordPress until I went out on my own. And I guess when I started thinking about starting up my own blog, I don't remember exactly how I found it, but I was probably Googling or something like that and hit on WordPress and gave it a try.
Nice. And were you doing custom development back then, just like creating your own custom PHP applications and web development stuff? Or was it always based on a framework?
Yeah, for the most part, it was mostly custom websites. But you know, I should say I'm really not. I don't really consider myself a hardcore developer. I'm really more of a designer. I kind of come from really front end development. Front end is my background, and since going out on my own, I've really gone more in the design direction. Development PHP, I know pretty well as it relates to WordPress, but other, you know, custom development kind of stuff, I usually let someone who is more reliable at that than I am. I'm just good enough to be dangerous.
I guess. I hear you. I'm the same way. So pretty safe to say when you found WordPress, you know, for the folks that are just finding WordPress now, either a month ago or a year ago, who are still getting their feet wet with it, I mean, you look at WordPress and say, I can pretty much bend this or do anything with this as a framework, or as Curtis McHale, my last guest, talked about, you know, you can build full applications, which Restaurant Engine is exactly that.
I mean, WordPress has grown so much over the last few years. I mean, it's now if you start thinking about web development or web design, you're going to hit on WordPress pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, anyone who's just getting into web design or web development, look at WordPress and learn everything you can about it, because that's my best advice to you.
Nice.
You know, about kind of building an application on top of WordPress, definitely it is a great platform to do that. I guess I would just say one thing, though. It's to really understand what kind of things WordPress is great at and what kind of things it doesn't do so well. I mean, it's great if you're publishing content on the web. And that can take a variety of forms. It can, I mean, in my case, publishing a food menu on the web for a restaurant, it's great at that. You can use custom post types. You can design a system around WordPress for something like that. You can get a little bit more advanced into having like membership sites built on WordPress, e-commerce on WordPress. Obviously, all these things are possible, like WooCommerce and things like that. But, you know, there are other kind of web apps and things that just WordPress is not really the right fit for, you know. So, for example, in Restaurant Engine, one thing that a lot of customers ask about is online ordering. You know, they want to actually have customers place their food orders through their website. And we don't actually offer that. We kind of partner with a few other services that do that. Because building that into WordPress or into the solution that we've done, it's kind of a stretch. You know, I think it's more of a, that kind of thing would be better suited for like a custom development web app or something like that.
Mm.
So I wouldn't recommend, you know, if you're going to build a web app, use WordPress just for the sake of saying that you're using WordPress. You know, use WordPress if it's really the right fit for what you're trying to do.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. And especially if you don't know how to bend it, you know, even to the smallest amount, because then you start going down that path of, you know, you're just scooping up a bunch of plugins to do something that, you know, it's not really geared to do. You start, you know, heaven forbid, hacking the core, and then next thing you know, yeah, you go to update, and then you can't do that.
Exactly.
When I talk to a lot of hardcore developers, they either love it, or, you know, when you're talking about something custom, especially an application, they either love it because, you know, they can lean on the community and plugins. But then you get some of the hardcore guys that are like, I'm just going to do this from scratch because it's just so much easier, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, going just a quick blurb or introduction to how your freelancing business went from, you know, before starting Restaurant Engine. How was that, you know, how was that going for you? What were the pitfalls that you, if you look back to say, you know, you should really avoid this, you know, or were there no pitfalls and everything was just great in the freelance market?
Freelancing has gone pretty well. And again, I still do freelance work today.
Yep.
I'm hoping to phase it out completely at some point, but not quite there yet.
Yep.
I was doing a lot of writing about this maybe 2 years or so ago. What happened with me was my first year, year two, I was completely on my own doing freelance work, doing everything. I was doing design, development, everything. It wasn't until my third year or so when I started to try to build my company and bring in more people and build what I used to call like a virtual agency. You know, lots of other independent designers, developers, and put together teams. That allowed me to kind of scale up to a certain extent, so I could take on more projects at the same time. More of the workload was spread out across, you know, a handful of other people that I was kind of managing. And I mean, that worked out well, but that has its challenges as well. You know, there's just a lot more to manage. The main thing that I saw with freelancing and just working with clients is there's always going to be that ceiling. You know, there's always going to be your income is still tied to your time. Mm-hmm. And even when you grow a team, you know, even when you're able to bring on more bandwidth at the same time, it's still projects that require this many people at this many man hours. So I kind of kept running into that. And, you know, I was just kind of looking for ways to, you know, new ways to scale up. Mm-hmm. And one way I found was to sell WordPress themes, which I continue to do as kind of like a small side project to what I do through Theme Jam, creating a product, and it sells once. It's not like a recurring thing, mm-hmm. which is good. You know, some months are up, some months are down, and it is what it is. But then I kind of really got interested in building a recurring revenue income model through web design. You know, kind of combining web hosting with web design into one seamless package, making it easy for small business owners who really don't understand about, oh, I need to find a web host, I need to get a domain, I need to get WordPress, you know, what's WordPress?
And right.
Just really trying to simplify the whole process into one package. And that's what led me to start Restaurant Engine.
Nice. So one of my questions that I have, you know, typed out here is, how did you make the transition from freelancer to app developer to micropreneur, if you will? But it sounds like maybe you got a taste of that recurring income when you started selling themes. And then maybe was that the trigger that went off, or the light bulb that went off, that said, wow, I can put a product out and somebody buy it, and all of a sudden money shows up on my doorstep?
Yeah, you know, when I was selling themes, that was kind of my first taste of selling a product instead of selling services. Mm-hmm. You know, I put a lot of time into creating the theme up front, but then it just continues to sell over and over. It can sell in my sleep. It can sell when I'm on vacation, and that's great. You know, that's the dream for a lot of a lot of people. I'm not saying sales were a dream by any means. they're still very low. Yeah. You know, so selling a product gives you that ability to create an income that's just completely disconnected from your time, and that's great. But then I found with that Theme Jam, you know, at the beginning of every month, you're still starting from zero. You know, you still have zero sales. So then it gets into building a recurring revenue model, software as a service, if you will, where every month you're bringing in more customers, and they're paying month to month, or they're paying every year, and that baseline revenue just continues to grow. I mean, assuming that more people are signing up than are canceling. Mm-hmm. But that's basically what led me to it there. I mean, the other thing that kind of really got the wheels turning in terms of thinking about building something like Restaurant Engine was that when I was selling themes, and any company selling themes, you know, I think that their customer base still has a level of technical understanding. So like someone who's going to buy a WordPress theme, they already know, A, what is WordPress? They know that they need a theme for WordPress, and they know how to install a theme. They know that they need to go out and get their own web hosting, and they understand what's involved in finding a web host that's good for WordPress, and then installing WordPress, installing the theme, configuring it. So, you know, a lot of the customers for themes are their web developers, or they're just kind of tech savvy business owners. But, you know, I kept finding that there were you know, maybe clients who came to me or small businesses who would come to me looking for a custom website. They have no idea what any of these things are. All they know is they need a website for their business.
Right.
And if they're going for the custom route, they're going to come to a web designer like me or like anyone else. And, you know, they're going to probably quote them a couple thousand dollars for a custom website design. Mm-hmm. For most businesses like restaurants or any other small business, I mean, that's usually not doable. So they end up either not having a website, right, or having a really cool one. And, you know, so I just really wanted to like package that high-end web design service into an easy package that's easy to understand, easy to get started with.
Right. I do want to go into the restaurant engine, but But before we get into that, what was the, so one of my next questions that I have listed down was, what was the biggest challenge when you made that transition from freelancer to selling a product or providing a service? And was that, and I'm just taking a guess, was that challenge initially the support of selling that theme? How do you make this page look like your demo? You know, how do I add content to this restaurant engine site? Was support the biggest challenge, or was there something else?
Yeah, you know, I think support is not the biggest challenge, and I think that's a big misconception for a lot of people. I get asked that all the time, and I had the same misconception about it when I was first getting into it. Support is really not that bad. Until you, I'm sure a lot of the bigger companies will tell you it's enormous, you know. But when you're starting out, the first year, especially if you're bootstrapping like I am, you know, it's not a fast growth kind of thing. You know, it's a couple of emails a week. Mm-hmm. It's really not that bad. Or it's a quick IM chat. It's really pretty easy. And I actually really enjoy customer service for a few reasons. First of all, when you're building an app, or even if you're designing themes or whatever, I mean, that's instant feedback about what you're doing. Any question that you get, that's more like intelligence about your product. You know, you're finding out, okay, three people just asked me the same question. Obviously, this feature needs to be improved somehow because it's not easy enough to use. Mm-hmm. And getting feedback like that, I mean, when you're building a product or building any kind of anything that you're selling, I mean, you need constant feedback. That's just as good as money. You know, that's you know.
How did you go about sourcing that feedback? Your website widgets, live chat stuff, emails, surveys.
Yeah, you know, at first it's part of that misconception, like, oh, support is going to be such a huge burden. I need to build all these systems and I need to get all these apps to handle it all.
Yep.
And so I signed up and I demoed like five different support apps, you know, like Zendesk and you know, a few others, and I finally just came back to using good old email.
Yep.
You know, I use Gmail and I use search inside Gmail and it works perfectly. I mean, I have a gravity form set up on the website where people can quickly send me an email. You know, that's been really good. You know, part of the reason email just works for me. I think it makes sense, but it really makes sense for the customer. They don't want to go onto some ticketing system, create an account, you know, have to remember their login just to log in and ask a question. They want to just be able to email someone and use the same email they always use. So that's been really working out well. For Restaurant Engine, the other thing that I use a lot is olark.com, which is a little live chat widget that's on the website. So when you're there during the day, most likely it's going to pop up, and it's actually me. It's connected to my instant messaging account, and you know, people. I talk to restaurant owners every day through that. A lot of them are customers. A lot of them are potential customers, but existing customers go on there as well. They know that's a quick way to reach me and ask me a question, and I do support that way as well.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's the less hoops that we have to make the folks jump through. You know, much better for the client. And I think as entrepreneurs, especially folks like you and I who may be, you know, running and building our business, you know, we jump into a business and we say, and I do the same thing. Okay, business A is about to start. Let's load up Zendesk. Let's get a Basecamp. Let's get Olark installed. Let's get everybody that's supporting this on Gtalk. Let's get all our Skype handles, you know, organized.
Right.
You know, get this whole thing going, and then the company launches and it's one person that emails in, and it's like,
right.
Boy, I have to, should I put them in Zendesk? Should I track them in HiRise? Do I add them to a newsletter so we can keep in touch? And then you go through all these processes. I think as you're right, when we're bootstrapping, we tend to forget we're making this minimal viable product for folks to test and try out, but we're not even doing that on our own, you know, in our own internal system. So definitely good advice
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, one other aspect of support that I kind of struggle with this is telephone support, right? I mean, especially small business owners who are not as tech savvy as people like us, they are much more comfortable using the phone. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely noticed that with restaurant owners. And it's actually a problem for me. I mean, I don't have time to be on the phone all day, every day with customers. So, I mean, my system has always been like, send me an email and I'd be happy to get on a phone call with you, but you got to send me an email and let's schedule a phone call. Let's exactly. say tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard, especially if you don't have a big team around you, like I don't, you know, it's hard to kind of create those walls. And I want to tell the customer like I'm there and I'll talk to you, but I can't be on call.
Right. Right. No, it makes perfect sense. And look, there has to be, it's 2012 going on 2013. Really? let's work through email at least for the first, you know, round of support. And then once I can digest it and schedule you in, you know, let's hop on the call.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get away from talking about myself so much in these interviews, but as one thing that we struggle with here at the studio is Basecamp. Love the product, love the new redesign. Sucks that there's no more private messaging. But you know, we're looking at it like, okay, even the small business that opts in doing a customized site, Basecamp is already starting to be too much. They can't, you know, they can't use the milestone calendars. They can't find the, you know, where to click for the calendar. And then we're doing, not only are we going to have to train these folks on WordPress, we have to train them on how to use Basecamp. And there's like, we have PDFs and eBooks that we send people to how to use that we created. We have ScreenFlow screencasts that we made to show them how to use it, but they just want to send the email. So it's definitely something
that we're looking at. Yeah, totally. Dave and I have talked about this on the Freelance Jam show a few times. Yeah, you know, I think, I'm not sure what he uses today, but I think for a while he used Basecamp for his clients. I used to use Basecamp a lot back when I was really growing my client business and building a team around me to handle a lot of client work all at once. I used Basecamp then, but I never used it. I never gave clients access to it. It was always just internal between me and the other, you know, freelancers that I'm working with.
Yeah.
You know, but eventually, even that, I ended my Basecamp subscription only because for me today, I love using Gmail and I use a lot of Google Docs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally with you. And I think that might be the path we start to take unless it's a very large project with many folks and that they at least have some inkling on how to use it. Great. So we went from freelancing and then you got the taste of selling a digital product and kind of having that hands-off passive income. You started Restaurant Engine. You know, what was your aha moment that said, I know you said, hey, people want affordable, great design. I want to use WordPress. What was that aha moment? Did you have a client, a bunch of restaurant clients, and then finally you said, this is it. This is what I have to do.
I don't know if it was one moment. It was definitely a concept that I was thinking about for a long time before I even landed on doing it for restaurants. I was thinking, so I guess the dilemma was this, you know, I was serving a lot of clients with custom website design. It's getting to, you know, a few years into my career, the clients that are coming my way are bigger. They have bigger budgets, which is not always a good thing. I mean, it usually means they're a bigger company and there are all sorts of hoops you got to jump through. But, so what happened was there are a lot of these smaller businesses that would still find me. But they just can't afford the costs of a custom website design. So I'm really more passionate about working with smaller businesses than I am with working with like bigger agencies or other, you know, bigger companies. You know, so I really love working with small businesses, but I can't do a $300 website. You know, it's not gonna. So I was looking for a way to kind of scale the idea of working with small businesses, and give them high quality web design, the same level of quality that I would give to any other client. You know, And I was looking at themes. I tried that approach, which I continue to do. But again, you still need a level of technical ability to get up and running with a WordPress theme. So I just continued to look at that as there's some kind of wall there that so many of these small businesses can't jump over. There's still got to be like a connection between the average person, the average small business owner, and this huge growing thing, WordPress. You know, getting a WordPress site up and running, there's still like a gap that you need to jump across. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of coming to that idea of how do we package it all, make it easy to get on board and up and running in a day or two.
Great. That's awesome. You've been running it for a little while now. Any insight to where it's going? Do you have a new version coming out? Do you have anything in the works that you'd like to talk about?
Nothing too big on the horizon other than, I'm trying to release our sixth theme on Restaurant Engine. Working on that, hopefully sometime in the next month or so. But always kind of just tweaking and improving the system. Really just kind of working a lot on marketing it and bringing in new people and new customers. Which is that's been actually pretty difficult. You know, it's really a huge learning experience because, again, you know, with a WordPress themes business or so many of these other startups that are around the design and development space, it's so easy to reach us. You know, all the things that we buy, like Basecamp. I use Coda and Espresso for coding. I mean, reaching the customers who are going to buy Espresso is easy because they're all on Twitter and they're on the web all day. So you can, you know, you could use social media to get to these people. But restaurant owners are, they're locked away in their restaurant. They're not turning, they turn on their computer maybe once a month, you know?
Yeah.
So it is much harder to build traction with non-web people. And that's, you know, that's definitely something that I'm working on and learning as much as I can about really marketing to.
Yeah, and this is a perfect segue. You've got Restaurant Engine launch. You're happy with it. You're feeling satisfied. You've had your aha moment. Now it's like, okay, how do I get these people to use this? How do I get the average Joe who doesn't know anything about WordPress, doesn't care to know? Frankly, probably shouldn't even need to know, really, if they're the the business owner, if they're not the person that's going to support this, so on and so forth. And you talked about this at your Providence WordCamp presentation, and I met a few people there and had lunch with a gentleman just the other day that was there, and you know, he had the same thing. How do you prospect for your clients? How do you find these leads? How do you get them, funnel them into your site? You know, what do you think has worked for you in the real world of selling to people that aren't on Twitter like us?
Yeah, you know, I mean, one thing that I've made a big effort in is just organic SEO, creating content. Heavy focus on our blog. I've always written articles on other blogs. I write articles on Mashable, Freelance Switch. Lots of different sites that just kind of help with boosting the SEO of our blog and our site. So that kind of gets the initial traction with the early adopters, the people who happen to be maybe both tapped into the restaurant food service industry and they're on the internet, they're on the web, they're learning about the cutting edge things that are out there. And then I'm kind of relying on them to inform restaurant owners who are not really tapped in. So it is kind of a slow process. Between building the blog, we build an email list. I try to reach out and just send quality content that way. We do some advertising campaigns as well, but really for the most part it's this content marketing thing, which is it really does grow over time. If you stay consistent with it over a period of several months to a year, it can really help.
Yeah.
The other thing is You know, a lot of the people who find Restaurant Engine are consultants for restaurants. So a lot of them are marketers who help restaurants market, or they might be like photographers for restaurants, or they maybe like graphic designers who do like print design, but they don't do web design. Mm-hmm. So these are a lot of people who reach Restaurant Engine and then recommend Restaurant Engine to their clients. Mm-hmm. So for them, we have two programs that have worked pretty well. One is just an affiliate program, pretty traditional. They just sign up, and we have a referral system if you refer people in. The other one is a white label solution. So if you are a web designer, or even if you're not, but you want to offer web design services to your restaurant clients, you can sign up as a white label partner. And then you're essentially reselling the services to your clients, and then the name Restaurant Engine is kind of hidden from the dashboard. So
very nice. Yeah, I think as social becomes, I mean, let's take a look at Facebook real quick. I mean, I don't even want to use Facebook anymore. I'm sick of Facebook. It's one of those things where a year ago, everyone was saying, be on Facebook, be on Facebook. The numbers were going up. The adoption was going up. It was the race to a billion users. Right. So when we're consulting with our clients, it's, you have to be on Facebook. Let's set up a Facebook page for you at least. Let's get all this stuff up there. And now there's just far too much noise. And quite frankly, the people that we're going after, they're not on there, right? So the social networking is, hello, people, get out and be social. I mean, I think right. that, you know, if there is a local chamber, as much as, you know, most chambers are kind of very, very far behind on the technology curve, but at least you can get in front of those people and do that. I mean, obviously, we have WordPress meetups and WordCamp, so that's easier for us. But, you know, go on meetup.com, check out or create your own meetup if you have to, but get out and be social. Because we are bootstrapping and we're organic, right? So we have to start that grassroots movement. And I think a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, early on or a year ago, get sold on that dream of that passive income, build it, put it out there, make an ebook. You know, HubSpot was famous for that. Make an ebook and you're going to have tons of traffic coming your way through inbound marketing. Right. Well, it takes work. Right. It takes a lot, a lot of digging, a lot of moving around, and
absolutely getting out there and actually meeting people.
Yeah, and especially if you're bootstrapping it and you're a solo entrepreneur, then you're doing the work, you're dealing with the client, you're supporting them, that whole thing that we just talked about. So, I think a lot of folks.
Yeah,
it's good in one way because now we're hitting that curve where okay, so restaurant owners might finally start to be familiar with. Look, I have to be on the web. I have to have a presence. So at least I know I have to go get this stuff. I might not know how to do it, but at least finally I know, look, I have to be online somewhere, somehow. So at least
exactly.
That's one way in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just educating people, you know, it's huge. And that's one thing that kind of goes back to when I was first starting as a freelance web designer. I mean, the classic question, how do you find new clients, right? New freelancers always have that question. How do I get my first clients? How do I continue to have a steady stream of clients? You know, one answer is referrals. Everybody gets referrals. But at a certain point, referrals kind of dry up, or you have periods of the year when they dry up. Mm-hmm. For me, it was always writing articles, you know, writing guest articles on other blogs and just educating on things that seem very basic to us. To someone else, it's a totally new concept. So, you know, you could write a 500 to 1,000 word article about something, get it out there and write a few every month, and you're just going to build traffic. You're going to build trust. People are going to remember your name. And that has worked for my freelance web design work. And I'm doing the same thing for restaurants. And it really continues to work, you know.
Nice.
Content and really well thought out education. People appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I think content marketing, SEO strategies for client stuff, I think we could probably go on forever on different tips and strategies. But, you know, So you're happy where it's going. You've got that business, up and running. You probably got some updates coming down the pipe. Any advice to somebody who's just jumping into it now and saying, okay, I think I built my own app on WordPress. Any advice for that side of it besides the how to find the clients? Any technical advice that maybe you hit the wall and said, I should have been doing it this way?
Think about that. I guess one thing is to just really, and this goes for I guess any kind of businesses, don't do everything yourself. And I mean, I am a solo founder in my business, but I have a network of people, designers, developers, copywriters, entrepreneurs who I constantly rely on to get advice to actually bring on and help in certain tasks. And it does take time. It takes a long period of several years to develop a core group of people that you can really trust. Who you know that every time you give them something, they're gonna bang out a good job. There are so many flaky people who are just not reliable, and you kind of have to. There's really no other way around it. You kind of have to try them out and realize they're not reliable until you get to a few good ones. But once you develop that core group of people, that's been a huge help.
Nice. So you mentioned something about trying not to do everything yourself. I think one of the things that as entrepreneurs, that's what we do best is we try to do everything ourselves, and we can do everything ourselves to the point of exhaustion, failure, or great success if you keep pushing through it, like Seth Godin says in The Dip. He said, you keep pushing through that dip eventually, through that hard work and that persistence, you will win or make it, creating your art. I
Yeah, it's
noticed
a
that.
struggle. I still struggle with that kind of thing. I still try to do everything myself, and there are certain areas where I know I have no business trying to write this custom PHP function. Yeah, that's somewhere where I'd probably bring in someone else to help out. But you can look at the screen all day and try to solve a problem for 8 hours, whereas someone else could take banging out of 1 hour, and that's 7 wasted hours on your end that you could have been working on something that you actually are good at. So it's been a constant struggle to get that right.
And again, just real quick, I going back to the presentation that I did at WordCamp, that's the number one thing that I when I when I'm hoping to reach other people that are just starting off in this field that do the $500 websites for people. And I have only been doing this for 6 months to a year because it's such a low barrier of entry to get a WordPress site up and buy a theme. What they don't realize is if they keep doing this $500, they number one, they never scale up and out of that business and make more revenue for themselves. But they're also saturating the market with some pretty bad stuff that we come across. So in my presentation, I said, identify what you're really, really good at. If you're a designer and you're really a designer, you studied design and you've been doing it all your life, then say you're a designer. Don't trick people and say that you're a developer and then take on this job that's over your head, and then you build something that's a bird's nest for the next person who takes over. Or vice versa, if you're a developer, don't say you're a designer and use Comic Sans in your designs. I mean, just don't do it, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that people want to hear that either. I think there's a misconception when you're speaking to a new client or someone, and they're saying, can you make a website, and do you do the programming and the design? And the quick answer is, yeah, I do it all. I can do all of that for you. I'm a one-man shop. Just come to me. But I think a lot of clients appreciate the fact that, like, okay, this guy is a rock star designer, but he knows how to either outsource the development, or he can tell you that he's not going to do the development for you or something like that. I think people like to hire specialists.
Nice. So going back to doing everything yourself and possibly spreading yourself too thin, I'm trying to get some curveball questions into my interviews. So this one you might not have been prepped for. If you don't want to answer it, that's fine. But doing some research on you, I saw that there was an app called the Skipper app. and I checked out the site. It said that it was no longer in development. Anything you'd like to say about that? Was that spreading myself too thin kind of thing, or something that was just over your head? Maybe it's still coming.
No, I mean that. So yeah, that is not in development. It was an idea that I was kind of pursuing. I guess this was last year. It was. I had a partner on that, and really cool, really great developer. And what happened was, I guess two things happened. One is that he was already working a full-time job, and I was freelance, and so he was balancing being my partner on building this app with his full-time employment, and the balance of our commitments just wasn't really there. And I mean, I understand that, you know, he's got his commitments, I have mine, so that really didn't work out. But the other thing was the idea for the app. I guess I should step back. The Skipper app was supposed to be an app to help you scale up as a freelancer and manage a team. And it's not really a project management app like Basecamp. It's really just a way of kind of keeping a Rolodex of other independent freelancers and a way to kind of like keep track of what everybody's hourly rate is and their contact info and their social media activity. And it was supposed to be all like that kind of stuff. Okay. We actually got to a certain point where it was looking good and functional, and we were getting ready to kind of release it, but it wasn't maybe like 60% of the way there, and eventually the project just kind of.
Well, that sounds like a juicy story. That sounds like something that actually went through the same exact experience, and I'd love to get into that, but maybe for another episode.
Cool.
To definitely talk about something like that, because picking your co-founder is super important, or founder or partners, very, very important. Everyone loves each other until they don't anymore, and you know, life gets in the way. And if people aren't committed, you know, then things can vaporize, and it's not a good experience for either person. Or at least in my case,
For sure. You know, that's one thing that I've kind of run into a number of times. I mean, having a partner. I mean, for me, you know, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, when you get started on working on something, I go like full speed ahead. I'm just like, we got to do this. We got to get it out, and let's commit everything to it and go. You know, and I not everybody is like that. And if both people or the whole group is not on the same page, you know, it's just not really going to work. And that's kind of what led me to with Restaurant Engine. It was kind of the first time that I was like, you know what, I'm going to forego the whole idea of just finding a partner on this. I'm just going to do it myself at my own pace, and I'll bring on help when I need to bring on help. It's more of an investment, but I'm just going to do it. And I'm really happy with that decision. I mean, I was able to, you know, control the pace of how fast or how slow things are going.
Yeah. I mean, it's, not everybody is committed to you or to the project or to you or your vision. A lot of people don't even understand the vision because either they just don't have the passion in it. They're all long for it because, you hyped them up. You sold them the idea. But when the going gets rough, they're just like, hey, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I don't have that same commitment. And, man, I think going back to my first startup, we were building something. I think back, this is like 7 years ago. You know, we were building something that was Dropbox, if you will. This is like Dropbox was still in beta back then. So, you know, I'd be talking to you on an island right now if the project actually came to existence. And, you know, he was my co-founder. We did it for 2 or 3 years. We were actually building on Drupal back then for a front end and, you know, this connecting to devices and whatnot. But, you know, he got lured away eventually by life. He worked for a big corporation, traveled all the time, et cetera, and then, you know, then he ended up doing another startup with somebody else. A few years back, and he's doing well now. And it was just like, hey, where was that commitment back then? But life gets in the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Let's start kind of wrapping this up. I want to ask about Freelance Jam. You know, podcast, video cast, you interview folks. How's that going for you? Where do you envision, yourself creating a network of shows as you go about it?
Freelance Jam is it's great. You know, I enjoy me and my co-host Dave Yankoviak. We have a good time doing it, but I think for both of us, it's really just kind of like a fun side project. You know, at first when we first started it, it was actually like an evening podcast. Like we actually used to do it on, I think it was like Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. It was supposed to be like we do our work during the day and we do this like one night a week or whatever. We eventually, you know, decided to do it during the day still. But it's kind of just one of those things where whenever we have time, we'll do a show. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be every 2 weeks. It ends up being like once a month. Nice. And like whenever we kind of have the time to do all the prep. I mean, at this point, we're not trying to scale up or anything like that. We do want to continue it, and we actually need to get some more guests in the calendar for that. But it's really just kind of like a fun way to stay tapped into the whole freelance community and trying to offer some advice, trying to bring on some guests, and just it's kind of fun.
Awesome. All right, so. There's been so much information, so much great information, starting off when you're freelancing, jumping into Restaurant Engine, to running the businesses, to finding clients. I think there's a ton of stuff that people will pull out of this. So I want to jump into something totally new called the Lightning Round, where I'll just throw out a few questions to you and you can just answer them. And this is more technical, tactile for folks that are jotting notes down. Cool. So you mentioned some of the software tools you used before, like Coda. What other online or apps do you use to get you through your freelancing?
Let's see, so many. Our most recent episode on Freelance Jam, we had the creator of CodeKit on, and CodeKit is one that you can plug that into any code editor you're using. I'm a huge Gmail freak, you know. Let's see, what else?
You mentioned Coda.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth between using Espresso and Coda. Been using Espresso for a while, now I'm back on Coda. I like them both. Let's see, what else? I've been using Buffer app a lot for putting out tweets. What I do is I do a lot of reading in the morning with Google Reader, and basically the three or four articles that I might read in the morning, I'll buffer those for the rest of the day. Awesome. Do that a lot.
Awesome. Podcasts. What kind of podcasts do you listen to? I noticed we talked earlier, you definitely listen to Mixergy. I listen to Mixergy. I'm a huge fan. I'm a premium member.
Yeah, so am I. Nice. Mixergy is awesome. Can't say enough. I mean, Mixergy is like my religion these days. Everything that Andrew Warner has done on that site is awesome. And if you are building a business, sign up. It's amazing. And that's been my education for the last year.
Nice.
Let's see, what else? I've been into the 5x5.tv shows for a while. The big web show, Jeffrey Zeldman, that's always a good one. One that I'm really into more recently is the Lifestyle Business Podcast. They talk about a lot of like outsourcing to Asia. Mm-hmm. They actually like run their businesses from Asia. That's kind of an interesting one. Mm-hmm. I really like that one because they are really good at hosting a podcast.
Yep.
They really kind of get down to business, no fluff. I really like that.
Yep.
Software by Rob.
Oh yeah.
Or their podcast, Startups for the Rest of Us. Yep. That's a good one. Trying to think what else. That's about it. Oh, you know, one, this is unrelated, but the WTF podcast.
You know? Yeah.
That's all comedians.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun too.
Awesome. What books do you read? What books have helped you get to where you are now? Do you have like three of them that you go back to and revisit?
Yeah, I'm actually rereading Tipping Point. Well, that's a great book. Everyone should read that one. Another really turning point book for me was The E-Myth, which that's really all about separating yourself. Don't work in your business, work on your business, mm-hmm. building systems, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great book to read. Let's see what else. There have been a lot of them. I guess I.
All right.
On the top of my head.
Yeah, that's fine. People that that we should follow, people on Twitter or blogs that you think would really help us out in WordPress and in business, perhaps.
Let's see. WordPress. One great guy to follow is my friend Pippin Williamson.
Oh yeah. Yep.
He's helped me out a lot with development, and the dude knows his stuff when it comes to WordPress development. Follow his blog. Follow his tweets. He's got a bunch of really great products, plugins that he's developed. But if you're looking to develop plugins, learn from him.
Nice.
Let's see what else. I mean, so many of them. It depends what topic or what category.
Yeah,
right?
No, I understand. Like Yoast for SEO is probably good.
Yeah, Yoast is good one. I read a lot of SEO Moz.
Yep.
So, learned a lot about SEO through that. I mean, just so many different people.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up, and I think everyone should go and find you. Where can people find you to thank you and maybe check out Restaurant Engine? If you could just give everybody where they can find you and where they can reach you at.
Cool. So I guess the best way to connect with me is on Twitter. I'm at CastJam. That's kind of the network that I use most. I don't use Facebook too much or Google+. And, feel free to shoot me an email anytime, brian@castjam.com. That's my main email address. Restaurantengine.com is the site. If you see the little chat widget on there, chances are it's me. So
awesome.
That's about it.
All right, great, Brian. This has been an awesome show. I think we could go on and on forever. There's so much other material we could probably cover, but I think this gives everybody a good sense of where you came from, your WordPress experience, what you're doing now. So I can't thank you enough for doing the show.
Cool. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, it was fun.
All right, Brian. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you.